seems to me if you're going to introduce Pat Kreitlow, you shouldn't have to hear him singing like that first, but yeah, it works. It was requested by our next guest, Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance, Wisconsin, who wanted to make sure that we were good and awake before we talked about all the things that his group works on and the advocacy that they do, not just on issues, but on things like voting. There's an election tomorrow. There's a lot of elections tomorrow, primary elections across Wisconsin. And, you know, it's something you don't just vote for yourself. You vote for, you know, your kids or grandkids. You vote for your neighborhood. And what Sean likes to remind people of is that entrepreneurs need to be voting too. You're never too busy to, you know, use your voice. And Sean helps entrepreneurs do that. Sean, it's great to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here.
Let's start with Main Street Alliance. First of all, how do you describe it to other people from a Wisconsin level and nationally?
Yeah, so we're an organization founded by small business leaders in 2008. We organize around issues that impact businesses, their employees in the communities, and we're really working to build a powerful, self-funded, multiracial small business membership organization that can shift, you know, the overall economic narrative, really build political power and win policy reform. And so yesterday, middle of the day around 3 o'clock, the Inflation Reduction Act passed. Didn't have everything in it we wanted. There's more to do, but it was certainly a big win, especially on healthcare access. And those are the kinds of issues that we focus on. So we expanded into Wisconsin in August of 20. We have about 600 members now across the state. We're going to have about 1,000 by the end of the year and really working to build small business power all across Wisconsin.
Well, and you know, the question that inevitably follows is, well, we have a chamber of commerce, you know, in our hometown, or, you know, I always thought Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce was like the business group for Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm asking that, of course, somewhat cynically, but I know you get asked it innocently. What do you tell them?
Yeah, so I would say that there are good local chambers, local economic development groups. There's a big difference between them and the state chamber, but there's really three organizations that have done a poor job representing small business, even though they purport to. There's the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They generally speaking support the bigger polluting manufacturers, very race to the bottom ideas. You know, we don't want to pay taxes. We want to privatize everything. We want deregulation of everything. You know, you got the Tavern League, which really represents the distributors. They say they represent the smaller taverns, but really who they work with are the folks who make a lot of money distributing beer across the state. And then you've got the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, which really focuses more on the bigger restaurants, the bigger chains. And so there really wasn't an organization like ours in the state that was really focused on the smaller Main Street businesses. And so that's what we're seeking to do and really to fill that gap. And so I would say that, you know, we focus on healthcare, childcare, paid leave, capital access, tax fairness, the things that, you know, our members tell us are important to them are the things that we focus on, which often puts us at odds with some of the positions of those other groups I mentioned. So there's a lot of work to do, but we're really excited to be able to do it here in Wisconsin.
I want to pick up on part of your answer where you talked about the Tavern League is actually more about the distributors. It reminds me of how we keep trying to tell people the National Rifle Association is not looking out for gun owners. It's a gun manufacturers group. And so you just don't judge a book by its cover. If you hear a group that's called something, you know, look into it. And clearly you're laying out the reason why Main Street Alliance is actually an alliance of people who work on Main Street and are looking out for those Main Street issues. So you talked about some of the various issues. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into the Inflation Reduction Act. We'll talk a bit about the organizing work that you do. But we'll start with the one that is, you know, most recent again, and that's the Inflation Reduction Act, which, again, anytime something happens in Congress, you know, people wonder what kind of a local impact it will have. And then people are prone to complain if there isn't a local impact felt immediately. But, you know, again, everything takes time to you know, happen, and then people complain about it afterwards. But it's like, well, you have to wait for these things to happen. What is it in the Inflation Reduction Act that made the final cut that stands out that you and your members are happy about?
Yeah, I would say the one that stands out the most is they extended the enhanced subsidies in the Affordable Care Act, the healthcare marketplace, for 3 years. That's huge. There was the American Rescue Plan as a part of efforts to address the pandemic significantly reduced the costs of marketplace insurance. It's still more too expensive for some, but it's a lot more affordable than it was. And so it really helped make the name of the original law passed in 2010, the Affordable Care Act, more of a reality. And so that's huge. If that had not happened, millions of people across our country would have gotten notices in October that their rates were potentially going up by $500 to $1,000 a month. And clearly extending those subsidies was a huge priority for us. So we're glad that was included. Prescription drug coverage was included. Corporations saw that they now have to pay a 15% minimum tax. And that is long overdue in terms of tax fairness. So there's a lot of good things in it. However, we are very disappointed that paid leave didn't make the cut. That was because of opposition by specifically Senator Manchin. Childcare investments, that's something we still need to get done. And then furthermore, there still is this need to replenish the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. That was a program that the American Rescue Plan did that helped restaurants that were really impacted by the pandemic, but it was underfunded. We worked really hard to get replenishment done, to get all the restaurants who qualified that support. Unfortunately, Senator Johnson did vote no on that. Senator
with some rather cynical comments as well that we may get into. A place from Main Street Alliance joins us. We're gonna take a little 2-minute break, come back and pick up the discussion right after this. You're up north. Monday morning across Wisconsin. I'm Pat Quitelow. This is Up North News. Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance Wisconsin joins us as we talk about issues of importance to entrepreneurs, small business owners. And we ended the last segment talking a bit about the American Rescue Plan Act and the Restaurant Revitalization Fund and other elements of the economy that seem to get less attention than others. Look, the Inflation Reduction Act debate, the last hiccup was yet another giveaway or at least a break, you know, to hedge fund managers, even though we were just talking about what restaurant owners need. So I guess what I'm saying, Sean, is you'll never be bored. There will always be something to advocate for that is, not getting a fair shake in Washington or Madison.
Yeah, I would say that. For us, it's about how do we really build power? How do we make sure that the voices of small businesses are represented at the table and that you don't have, the larger corporations being the only seat at the table? And so that's really, I would say, that what we're focused on. The Inflation Reduction Act was huge. There's still ongoing issues that need to be resolved before the November elections. So a lot of the Senate and the House are going to be out quite a bit between now and then. And then looking ahead, there are clearly huge issues at the state level that we're focused on. And we will be organizing very heavily in anticipation that, so the state legislature is currently on their 10-month all expenses paid
vacation. 10-month paid vacation, yes.
Yeah. Right. And when they come back in January, they're going to have the next 2-year budget to deal with. And for us, we're going to be very active, engaging in nonpartisan, get out the vote, engaging with the folks running for office between now and November. But then after that, we're going to work to regroup and get ready to hit the ground running to push for a Badger Care expansion with the public option, paid leave, and investments in childcare. The pandemic has really helped to bring a spotlight to those issues in a way that hasn't before. And so we need to make sure that our state legislature actually does its job.
That reminds me, as we look toward the governor's race, and I don't have the article in front of me, but Rebecca Clefish was called out by PolitiFact for, essentially insinuating that the problem, the labor force problem in Wisconsin is, because too many people are getting, this benefit or that benefit, when there's nothing that indicates any factual basis for that. What we really have in terms of a workforce problem, well, at the national level, we could talk about immigration, but we'll save that for another time. But locally, you hit on it, that there are people who would be working, but a whole lot of parents, especially moms, left the workforce. And could come back in with paid leave, with childcare assistance, and by expanding Badger Care, which would save taxpayers money. Do you expect that we're going to have that same rehashing from now through November when gubernatorial candidates talk about the labor force issues in Wisconsin?
Possibly. Although I would say, you know, nationally, we have 3.5% unemployment in Wisconsin. I would imagine that it's, I believe it's hovering around 2%, which is amongst the lowest unemployment rates in our country and our state's history. And so we have really tight labor markets. And the question we have to ask is why? I do think, to your point about immigration, that's a separate issue, but it's certainly part of it. But then there's also just in Wisconsin specifically, like, what are we doing to attract people to our state? Groups like the Wisconsin Manufacturers of Commerce Association will say, we just need to do like a talent attraction campaign run. You know, there's those like Pure Michigan ads and, you know, Wild in West Virginia, and they're basically advertising campaigns. You can't put lipstick on a pig. It's not, people still know it's going to be a pig. And for us, like, what is it that we can do policy-wise to attract and keep people? We need to invest in our education system. High-speed rail, that would have been awfully nice to have years ago. That would have attracted more investment. We need to invest in housing. And then the caring economy stuff I mentioned, healthcare. You know, so many entrepreneurs I talk to don't start a small business, or they stay in a 9-to-5 and do the business on the side because they can't get access to health insurance. And so what we're going to do is we're going to shift the narrative around these issues to say, it's a moral issue, it's a ethical issue, but it's also a small business issue. It's about entrepreneurship and creating jobs. And so for too long, groups have blocked, Badger Care expansion, paid leave and childcare investments. And we're going to work to try to change that.
Well, and that, again, can only be good for the many, many, many small businesses in Wisconsin and the United States, because if you can get that playing field a bit more level, that is only good for entrepreneurs, because it's one thing for a Fortune 500 company to offer, you know, paid leave, but, you know, a small business can't necessarily do that. But if every business had to do it, and, you know, the small ones got some kind of assistance for it, suddenly that's good for competition, you know, when you're not just directing policy, you know, toward the big boys. And I don't know, you've, as people have made that argument, what is the response? I'm sorry, Sean, that makes too much sense. We can't do that for small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, a lot of it is that those corporations have a lot of power. They donate a lot of money to people running for office, and folks benefit from the status quo, but that's just not okay. I'll just use an example. Brick Cider is a wonderful business over in Mount Horeb. They do apple cider, they support local farmers, they employ people, they pay them a decent wage, but they can't provide paid leave because they don't have the scale necessary to do so. And then literally right next door, across a yard from them, is Duluth Trading Company. And this is not me picking on Duluth specifically, but they have this beautiful new building full of people. They have enough employees where they can provide paid leave and healthcare and all these things because they have scale. And so it's important for us as a whole to really agree that small businesses should have the same ability to provide those basic benefits, to attract good people to start those jobs, and also, frankly, to retain them so they can continue to grow. Because you should not be determining what job you take based on, can I get health insurance? It should be, is this something that I want to do where I feel it's valuable and where I feel like I'm contributing to the community and can provide for my family, right? And so that, to us, is not picking on the big businesses. It's more about what can we do to level the playing field so small businesses have the same shot.
That was the philosophy behind the Affordable Care Act, and it's the philosophy behind expanding Badger Care, which, again, if you're not familiar with that, is basically, you know, Badger Care is Medicaid in Wisconsin, which is, you know, medical assistance for for lower income families, for the disabled, for some elderly. It covers, you know, so many children in Wisconsin, and it could be covering more, but Republicans in the legislature for over a decade now have been fighting, have been costing taxpayers money because they don't want to recognize that the Affordable Care Act is here, it's staying, and it's working. One of the things that would be, that would make it even more competitive and good for entrepreneurs and people would be if there was the competition of a public option with that as well. And that's something that Main Street Alliance has also talked about with your members and with legislators.
That's right. We worked with closely with Representative Christina Shelton, Representative Supreme Moore, and others back last spring, right before they went on break. We didn't know they were going to go on break that quickly. Really talked about this as an entrepreneurship issue, as a fairness issue, creating competition. The insurance companies don't love it, but too bad. We should not be prioritizing insurance company profits. We should be prioritizing families on main streets across our state who need access to good quality, affordable health care. Anybody who's ever been on BadgerCare will tell you it is an extremely robust coverage. It is a very well-run program. I personally have family members who get their leukemia treatment through BadgerCare, and the reason why they're able to do it is because they have that coverage. And lest I remind you, BadgerCare was originally passed under far left-wing Governor Tommy Thompson, if you can sense my sarcasm. So, this is a program that historically has enjoyed bipartisan support. And in fact, many parts of the National Affordable Care Act bill was somewhat modeled off of the success of BadgerCare. And so, 95,000 people would get coverage if we took it. $1.6 billion would come to the taxpayers of our state. It is long overdue, and we need to get it done this next legislative session.
Now, this is an element of healthcare that is not something that I think I hear a lot of from Main Street Alliance, and I'm talking about abortion care, but the impact on business as well. But I know that in light of the Roe v. Wade repeal, Chandra Causer, executive director, noted that, in days since the decision to repeal Roe v. Wade, she writes, "We have seen numerous corporations begin to wield their economic power to offer abortion coverage to their employees. We don't know for sure whether these public statements are anything more than a publicity boost for these companies, but this new reality makes the playing field even more unequal for small employers. Bodily autonomy should not be an employment benefit or recruitment retention tool. It is more important than ever that we continue fighting to ensure people all have access to healthcare, retirement, paid leave, and childcare, regardless of where they work." And Sean, I'm thinking of Eli Lilly saying, in light of the Indiana abortion ban that passed over the weekend, they're Indiana located, but they've made real clear, we are going to do all of our future expansion outside of Indiana. So every element of healthcare policy, the ones that you prioritize and maybe the ones that you don't, but every one of them matters to a workforce that, like you just said, they don't want their employment to depend on how they get the best health care or who punishes them for their health care. These really should be apples and oranges. And that's what, Main Street Alliance wants that level playing field.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is that you have the situation where employers were making statements that they were going to cover the cost, but folks should never be in a situation where they have to rely on their employer for a basic right. And that's why we put out that statement. I'm proud that we put out that statement, because it is not an issue that we typically engage on, but it is a very much an economic justice issue. And so, clearly the U.S. Supreme Court made their decision. States will make theirs. That's why it's important for folks to get involved and to use their voice, which I know has been happening robustly here in Wisconsin. One of the things we need to do as well is also have a holistic view of what we can do to help support new moms. That includes paid leave, that includes childcare, that includes these needed investments as well, especially given that we're going to be feeling the consequences of the decision for quite some time. So I'm proud we put out that statement. It's an issue that is really important, and we look forward to continue to work to make our country a more just place for all people.
Sean, I've only got a couple of seconds till break, so I want to ask just one really quick question, just to come back to the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. How bad are things? How much more needs to be done for a healthy restaurant sector in Wisconsin and across the country?
Yeah, so I think that we need to get replenishment done, full stop. one third, there's $28 billion that was allocated, $70 billion with a need. That leaves another $42 billion, which to you and I is a lot of money, but in the scheme of the overall federal budget, isn't that much. But we're gravely concerned with inflation, supply chain issues, labor challenges, et cetera, going into the fall, that there's going to be all of a sudden these folks are going to be servicing a bunch of debt, and they're not going to have the resources to do so. So it's extremely important we get that done. We'll continue to fight the fight to get that through.
Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance Wisconsin is our guest this hour. We're going to take our break and then come back and talk more about what the group is doing on behalf of entrepreneurs in Wisconsin. You can learn more about our coverage every day by signing up for our newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter, and become our newest subscriber. You're Up North. We'll be right back.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Whether you're a 9-to-5er or whatever your shift is, if you work in small business, Sean Fedaplace wants to talk to you and help give you a better voice on the matters of government and policy and what have you. But Sean, before we get back to some of the serious policy issues, I have to say, because I see the vast majority of your emails, you guys have more than a little bit of fun too. And I think that's very telling, because the only thing I associate Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce with in the area of fun is once or twice a year, I think they maybe play golf with a bunch of lobbyists or something like that. And I see you instead with small business people, with state legislators, with other experts getting together. So talk about that aspect of it that invites your members to learn and to be social.
Yeah. So I would say, first off, go to mainstreetalliance.org if you're a small business owner or ally, and sign up to become a member so that you can get invited to these things. But Main Street Alliance, we have a lot of really talented people who are members of ours. Here in Madison, you got Salvatore's Tomato Pies, up in actually Wausau, in this listening area for this, Sawmill Adventure Park is a member, and they received actually a pretty robust grant from the state to help them recover from the pandemic. We have these meetups. We actually had a meetup in Milwaukee recently, in Madison, and I'm hitting the road up to rural Wisconsin, heading over to Richland County, Viroqua, and La Crosse later this week to be able to meet with our members one-on-one in person. Clearly the ongoing pandemic has really impacted things, but our folks, we're vaccinated, we're meeting on patios, we're doing things as safely as we can, but it's really great to see folks get together and who really respect one another, who've been through a lot together, and to be able to build that power together. Because ultimately, a lot of these small businesses in these smaller towns, they all know each other, they all care about one another. And so for us, it's about how do we make sure that also they're using their voice together to be able to impact policymakers. And yeah, I don't think we're ever going to do a golf outing. I mean, don't hold me to that, but our members typically are not folks who are necessarily as much golfers, but definitely excited to try out a lot of interesting food, interesting products, and be able to really make sure that folks know that Main Street Alliance is a place you can go to make change, but it's also a place where you can make some friends too.
Yeah, just looking back at some of the things you did in May for Small Business Month, I know State Representative Francesca Hong helped people to tell their stories, and I think that's very key. Is that again, people tend to get into a silo when they're opening a small business. I can tell you just from starting this radio show, I can't get out of this office nearly enough, and that you remind people to get out and make those connections.
That's right. And I have to say, State Representative Francesca Hong, who is a member of our Wisconsin leadership team, is just such an incredible person. She works her butt off. She decided to run for office because she felt like small businesses were being left behind, and she wasn't wrong. There's a really great article in Bon Appetit. If you just Google Bon Appetit, Francesca Hong, it'll pop up. But it's folks like that, leaders like that, that already care a lot about their community, who are really working just to create a space for them to be able to work more closely together. I would say with Francesca, one of my favorite things she does in her role is she does WTF Friday, just talking about all the awful things that happened this past week. And I think it, again, that's just goes to show these are serious issues, but you can also have some fun with it while you're trying, you know, I guess, laugh through the crying a little bit. Well,
yeah, laugh through the ridiculousness. Yeah, it's one of the many things that she does that I look forward to. Let me ask you about the issue of affordable housing. And again, to give away a part of a story that we're working on, we're working on a story about a community that is up north, rural, small, but took it upon themselves to, they just got sick of slow speed internet. So they took it upon themselves. They found out, you know, about the federal and state assistance, the private assistance that's out there, and they're making it happen. But my question actually isn't about high-speed internet in this case. It's about what they discovered was the resulting issue. As more people wanted to either retire or move up there or spend more of their vacation time up there, they realized they now have an affordable housing problem. Now, that's a good problem to have, you know, instead of a town that's dying when people actually want to come and spend more time and maybe rent or buy something there. So affordable housing, I don't think we talk about nearly enough, but all across rural Wisconsin, you know, not everywhere, but in many rural cities, affordable housing, I'm guessing, is something you hear as a concern from your members.
Yeah, and housing shortages also impacts commercial space as well, because right. If you don't have as much commercial space, then you don't have as many opportunities for businesses to move in. So this is a huge issue across our state. On a personal level, my wife and I, we have a six-year-old son named, who I won't mention his name for privacy reasons, but we were trying to find a home this last spring, and the housing market was just so hot here in Madison that it was just became impossible. And that's what a lot of folks are experiencing as well in more rural parts of the state. Verroqua was a perfect example. Verroqua was a place that has experienced huge amounts of people moving into the area because there's an incredible food scene there. There's great opportunities. There's great employment opportunities, but there's just not enough housing. Thankfully, there was a pretty large grant that was awarded to Verroqua, the city of Verroqua, by the governor's office and by the state to help to address that long term. And that certainly will help. But we also need to have policy in place that makes it easier for folks to be able to access that affordable housing in rural parts of Wisconsin. Because if not, you know, there's going to be a lot of lost opportunity that possibly could happen.
That notion of commercial space reminds me that where Governor Evers has really been tooting his own horn is on these Badger bounce back grants that go to small businesses. But one of the conditions is essentially that they, relocate to vacant storefronts, you know, so that our main streets, you know, don't have as many vacancy signs in there. And I wondered if, obviously, they have a lot of good to say about how much money they've given out, how many grants they've given out. But that storefront angle of it has to be pretty good for the visibility of all small businesses on Wisconsin's main streets.
Yeah. So the Major Bounce Back Grant is a $10,000 grant that you can receive if you take over a vacant space. And this has been taken advantage already by over 5,000 small businesses across Wisconsin. By the time that the program is fully done, it'll be about 7,500. So that's $75 million, you know, 7,500 times 10,000, $75 million that'll have been injected directly into these vacant storefronts in downtown. And it's helpful to add, like, especially in more rural areas where rents may be a little bit lower, you know, in those scenarios that could possibly pay for rent for like 6 months, 7 months, and which can help a lot as you're a smaller employer just getting started to have that liquidity to be able to have a little bit of a fallback if you need it, and help to reduce business failure. In addition to that, it's really interesting to see what the multiplier effect is going to be, because as these downtowns fill up, Ladysmith is a perfect example of that. You're going to have more people coming downtown, more events happening, and you're going to have more economic activity as a result of that. So it's a really interesting program that hopefully we're able to learn a lot from, and then hopefully make some version of it permanent in the next 2-year budget. And that's something we're going to fight like heck to get done.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance, and we have been covering all kinds of issues about what Main Street Alliance does and what they advocate for. We've talked earlier about the Inflation Reduction Act and about some of their core issues. In terms of your rural organizing, you know, a lot of this was just you, it seemed like, in the beginning, just getting in the car and going. Is that still by and large the case, or did somebody finally get you some minions, or has your growth been organic as other members have helped recruit other members?
Yeah, so I mean, in that metaphor, I guess I'm Gru. I don't know if I'm the Gru or the back Gru, but they're not our minions. They're our, you know, they're our leaders. And I think that for, in this case, we actually formed a Wisconsin leadership team of 12 folks from across the state. So that's like Chris Marion Blanchville, who owns a bed and breakfast. You got TJ Sanchin up in Europa. He owns, he's CEO of Understate Coffee, a pretty widely loved coffee company in the state. You got Becky Cooper Clancy at Bounce Milwaukee. You got Irene Strobing up in Appleton. So these are like our Avengers, so to speak. Like, they're the folks who all have certain skill sets, certain, you know, strengths as well. And so we really work closely with them. And I have to say, I'm happy that Michelle Tressler, she is the vice president and co-owner of Hinterland Brewery and Restaurant up at Titletown next to Lambeau Field. And she's actually on contract with us to be doing organizing in the Green Bay and Appleton area. And we'll be bringing on another rural organizer here in the near term. So really exciting stuff. We're able to expand. You're right. For most of this, as far as staff went, it was just me, but we had a lot of leaders and a lot of members helping us build out and grow in the state and make this into what it is.
If you missed it earlier, the core issues for Main Street Alliance revolve around the care economy, which includes child care and paid leave. Tax fairness is an important one, as is access to capital, health care, and anti-monopoly concerns, always a concern for any small business. So we have a primary election tomorrow. So after tomorrow, we will know who all is on the general election ballot into November. So Does your activity change at all during those last, you know, 90 days or so to the general election in terms of, you know, what you and your members are talking about?
Yes. So back in May, we launched what's called Main Street Action. That's, we have our Main Street Alliance, which is our normal work. Main Street Action is more focused on the campaign. And so we hosted a series of three U.S. Senate roundtables with candidates who are running in Madison at Cooper's Tavern, at Cactus Club in Milwaukee, and Longchang Marketplace up in Appleton. And it was great. We had 110 small business owners from across the state participate. We had an opportunity for a lot of them to tell their story and talk directly with the candidates. Clearly, the field is has thinned out in the Senate race, but it was great to have that chance to talk with them. And you have people like State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, who's still going to be the state treasurer through January in her official capacity and has a really bright future as well. So it was a good opportunity to engage with the folks who are running, but also the folks who are good partners for the future as well. We are going to be engaging with a number of roundtables in the governor's race post-primary. We'll be doing the same in the 3rd Congressional District as well. And working to also launch a nonpartisan get out the vote effort. So as an example, we have Bonzo, which is a wonderful restaurant here in Madison. They've said that they're going to add voter registration information to their delivery orders that they're dropping off all across the area. You've got Liquid, which is a nightclub here, that is going to work to get the students who are UW-Madison to register and get out to vote. And so there's the way that this is going to really be executed will depend on the business. But for us, it's about what can we do to make sure everyone uses their voice, that we build that power for Main Street, so that post-election, we're able to go back to those same folks and really hold them accountable and make sure they do what they say on our core issues: healthcare, childcare, paid leave, capital access, tax fairness. So if you want to find out how to participate in some of those events and maybe do get out the vote stuff yourself, go to mainstreetalliance.org to find out how.
And if you go there, one of the things that might catch your eye right on the homepage is, along with everything else we've talked about, is a poster that you can sign up for and download, where it says they're working toward a more just economy and a more inclusive society. And it's a poster for your business that can say, all are welcome here. You know, we stand with our community. We respect women. We value Black lives. So, Sean, I mean, you stand for something.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And for us, we really want to make it clear that we, you know, all are welcome, that we're working to build power, no matter who you are. And for us also, it's a way to make sure that people know that the only way we're going to be able to really build power is if we do it together. And so, yeah, you go to the website. There was actually a business up in Appleton that randomly had it printed out. They're not members right. of ours, but it's a good opportunity to tell people what your values are.
Fantastic. Sean, so great to talk to you. Thanks. Look forward to doing it again and hearing more about all you're working on.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Take care now. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We will wrap up this hour in just a bit. I don't recognize that at all. What'd you find for me?
That's what election day is all
This is Willie Nelson called Vote Them Out.
The biggest gun all right. got Sorry, Willie and I, we just, you know, I'm just not a Willie aficionado, but thank you for that. Election day is tomorrow. Today we'll be stuck in the 70s. Tomorrow on election day, things are going to warm up. Chance of rain in some parts of the state Tuesday and or Wednesday. And then we cool down again for the rest of the week. But it is election day. Some of us have already voted. In fact, I'm going to look and see how many of us have already sent in our absentee ballots at some point here, just to for a humble brag. But it is more important that all the many of you who haven't yet voted go do so tomorrow. And that includes a lot of you who either have never voted in a primary election or have never voted, period. And it is very easy. And we should continue to keep it easy because we don't have a problem with widespread voter fraud in Wisconsin. Our elections are safe and secure and well run by thousands of amazing local clerks and their minions, their helpers, their partners and friends, and your neighbors. And yet there are people who have been working overtime to try to either make things less convenient to vote, or simply have wanted to, you know, to tear down, you know, the apparatus of democracy that we have here. So when I get set to tell you about what you need to vote tomorrow, I'm going to tell you that this comes from the website myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. Very easy to you know, see what you need, to see where to vote, to see what's on your ballot. Is it possible to use it illegally to get somebody else's ballot? Well, yeah, like a lot of things. If you purposefully put in bad information, if I put Luke's credit card number in to a web form to buy something, that doesn't mean the website needs to be taken down. It means I've committed a crime. And that is the thing that a right-wing operative in the Racine County area did recently and said, well, by his being able to get somebody else's ballot through the MyVote website, that must mean we need to tear the website down. No, it means you should be charged with a crime. And yet the sheriff in Racine County, Republican Christopher Schmalling, echoed his comments and said, yeah, that's really why the MyVote website should be taken down, is, you know, because somebody might commit a crime on it. Again, no indication of widespread fraud. We have a sheriff's candidate here in Chippewa County, Dan Marcon, I believe it is, who has also made waves about, you know, ending the MyVote website, rooted in nothing, rooted in conspiracy theories. And by the way, Luke, should we start? I don't know if it's a contest or what we should do. I'm done with conspiracy theorist. That gives people way too much credit. You know, conspiracy theorist is there might be UFOs out there, But if you're claiming the UFOs have landed, but you have no proof, you're no longer a conspiracy theorist. You know, you're a liar. You know, but I feel like we need some, maybe liar isn't the word, but don't you feel like conspiracy theorist is kind of giving somebody too much credit?
Well, because I think it equates all conspiracies as one. And there's some that are, I mean, it's fine to believe that Bigfoot lives out in the Pacific Northwest
that Elvis is alive or whatever. Right.
Exactly. Those conspiracies are fine because they don't hurt anyone unless you sell all your belongings, buy an RV, and then drive up to the Pacific Northwest looking for Bigfoot. But that only hurts you. If you're out here promoting these lies about election fraud that don't actually exist, it is really upsetting to hear all of it just get bundled up into conspiracy theories. But on another point, is this why I have so many Hawaiian shirts charged to my Amazon account being delivered up to Lake Wasota? Did you use my credit card over the weekend?
I have no comment on that.
Oh, okay.
I'm using my credit card for Duluth Trading Company. I wanted to follow up with Sean on that. You know, he talked about Duluth Trading having, so much money and resources. That is a lot. Most of it is from me. And I wanted to apologize, but also get credit from Duluth Trading because, honest to goodness, 2/3 of my closet is Duluth Trading Company stuff. Because when you find something, you tend to stick with it as long as the quality stays good and things like that. So to the extent that I'm hurting any other business, my apologies. But getting back to the My Vote website, and if you have not voted yet, in a primary election, it is so key because in some cases, the primary not only determines the nominee. Like right now, we don't know who the Republican nominee for governor will be, Tim Michels or Rebecca Clefish, until tomorrow. But in some cases, that primary is the only, there may not be a general election. If there are only Republican candidates for an office or only Democratic candidates, the winner of that primary is going to win in the general, barring some big surprise. So these primary races deserve your attention. They deserve a little bit of thought, and they deserve you're going and being a good citizen and casting a ballot. If you need to register to vote for the first time, Wisconsin is one of a minority of states that you can still register on Election Day. I don't know why more states don't do that. Again, we are the only Western developed democracy that has a political class dedicated toward making it harder for people to vote. But, a generation back, they tried making it easier to vote, and that resulted in things like same-day voter registration in Wisconsin, which we still have. What you need for registering is simply, a form of ID and proof of residence, something that proves you live at your current address, which, that could include a driver's license with your address, certain identification cards, but not business cards. The big one, of course, would be a property tax bill, a real estate tax bill, because again, you're paying taxes on that address. It's got your name and address on it. Many times a utility bill is good, so long as it's for a period. It says here no earlier than 90 days before the date of registration. So, grab a utility bill from your drawer in your desk from, 5-6 months ago. And an intake document from, a nursing home or an assisted living facility. These are not hard things to get and to get that proof of residence. It's clear that a lot of people are going to do that for the first time this year. Maybe not tomorrow, but certainly come November. We learned that in Kansas last week, that a lot of people finally reached a point where they said, I'm not sitting on the sidelines anymore. I'm tired of politicians, butting into my life this way or that way. And, you had an overwhelming voter turnout in Kansas. And a lot of people are predicting that, nationwide come November. But first, we have to figure out who is on the November ballot. And that gets us back to the primary. On the Democratic side for U.S. Senate, it appears Mandela Barnes is the presumptive nominee, barring a major surprise in the voting tomorrow. On the Republican side, it's going to be Tim Michels or Rebecca Clefish. And nobody has shown any polling that shows one of the candidates with a substantive lead. So, we're going to have, it looks like, an old-fashioned nail biter tomorrow that we will monitor and then talk about on Wednesday. Political analyst Joe Zepecki will help us talk more about political issues and elections when we come back. You're up north.